Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us on the old gospel bus as we get ready to pull out of the station tonight?
Well, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, band of angels, and we have Brother Six and someone else. If they were the 216, they'd like to press the number one, and we'll let them speak.
Okay, it's 216, and what's the next three digits?
276.
Okay, 276, 216, 276. If you wish to speak, just press the number one and join the conversation, because we would be glad to hear any of your prayer requests, prayer praises, as we get ready to start the program tonight. But first, Brother Six, your turn first. What do you have in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises for us tonight?
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to the Six Eyes Wednesday Bible Study. As always, I want to pray for the world, mankind. That's everything that's going on in the world. Jesus can fix it. Anything that we need repair in ourselves, mental, physical, spiritual, fix it. Lord, you can fix it. Praying for my family, your family. Praying to keep me healthy, strong, creativity, mind clear. And with that, I'm complete. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study with Kenneth Wolfgang and Ruthie Wolfgang, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And before you get off the air, America, America, all our listeners in different countries, go join, if you're on Facebook, the Six Eyes Radio Network group. With that, I'm complete. Two thumbs up for myself and two paws up for Trumpet. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, speaking of that, Ruth, how are you doing tonight with that?
I like to praise the Lord pray for everybody that he's talking about, and pray for what Emily mentioned on the other show, because she's got some issues. I'll just say it's an unspoken, and her mom's sick right now. And also what he was saying about the world. I'm very concerned about Israel right now.
All right. Yeah, what do you got, two thumbs up, two thumbs down? Which way are you today?
Yeah, two thumbs up, two thumbs down, and I wish I could hug Trumpet. And Six, but right now we're not right in the same spot.
All right. Well, I got two thumbs up. My wings are spread right. My halo is just right, and I'm doing great tonight. And just want to say God bless for everybody who's called tonight. And did our other caller press number one, Ruth?
No, I think they just want to listen in. That's all right.
All right.
And also,
I just want to remember the situation over in Israel, Brother Tim. I want to remember all our military, all our country's leaders, they'd seek after God. Want to remember, of course, all our first responders, fire, police, and ambulance, all our medical workers, no matter what field they're in. Want to remember all the sick and shut-in, no matter where they may be. And then, of course, all the lost in general, especially that one who is nearest hell, that they'd seek after God and come to Christ, the flag surrender, and that something said tonight would help them to that end. And then, of course, we want to pray that this show would be used to that end tonight. And, of course, for the blind ministry and the needs there as we continue to raise funds for the bus so that we can then get out there, even though we will still definitely keep being a part of Six Eyes Radio Network on the road, but yet doing the mission to which God called us to do, and that's to get out there, go blind camp, blind school to blind school as we go out on the road. So we want to keep that in prayer as we are continuing to raise funds for that. All right. So we are going to have Ruthie give us a opening prayer here, and then we are going to get started tonight.
Oh, dear precious Lord, you're always with us and be with all the prayer requests. We just can't wait to see you someday when the rapture comes. Just love you so much, sweetheart. Amen.
Amen. Now, of course, we got some great gospel music for you. Then, of course, we got a message coming from our Blind Ministry archives. If you wish to get a copy of it, all you have to do is go to, of course, our website, which was already mentioned, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. Click the sermons link. Once you've done that, click Holiness, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, Holiness. Once you've clicked that link, you'll be given a list of titles of different messages. Click the one that says, The Great I Am, The Great I Am. Once you do that, you will be brought to a page that gives you all the details of the message, The Great I Am, which tells you the preacher's name, the details of it, how long it is. And yes, there's even a little player there where you can actually listen to it before you decide to download it. But if you wish to download, there's a download link right there on that page. You can download it for absolutely 100% for free. Now, some people say in this world, there's nothing for free. Don't believe that. There's nothing for free. Oh, well, you'll find, yes, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, that myth is blown to smithereens. Any and all sermons are completely free as the Lord provides. You could just download them completely free right there. No charge. Yes, there is a love offerings link, but completely separate from the download link. And if you choose to click that, then you'll be put on our PayPal, secure PayPal page, where you can give a secure donation using your credit card and or PayPal account. But remember, it is not required to get a copy of that sermon, The Great I Am. Once that is complete, we are continuing with Tim Groover, as we have been doing for quite a while now, seeing who in the Six Eyes Radio Network team can be the top dog with the song and poem. And Tim seems to have a serious case of foot in the carburetor syndrome. Will he continue? So he has been moving right along, and we're going to see if tonight he can continue with the foot in the carburetor and keep moving right along, getting the song and poem correct. See if he continues that tonight. And then after that, Ruth will be coming along with her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
Land of Magog.
Gog? Land of Magog. Okay. How does that relate to Bible prophecy? We're going to find out tonight. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then, of course, any prayer requests that you may have missed or didn't get a chance to get into right at the beginning here, or if you join in kind of in the middle of the show, you still have time then to give your questions or comments to any of the messages at that point, and also any prayer requests or praises at the end. Now, one last chance, Ruth, did our other listener press number one?
I think the person's just listening in.
Okay, obviously listening. So we are just going to go ahead, get right into the program, right into our good gospel music, have a good hoedown for Jesus, and then get right into our good southern gospel music and, of course, our messages. So here we go.
All righty, sweetie.
Heaven our home. sent his son, the Lamb so faithful. Do you know of this place and its beauty? Have you met God's precious Lamb? He's the only way in, the only cure for sin. He's the door to this beautiful land. Heaven, heaven, God's place for all he redeemed. Heaven will be your final home once you bow.
If when you do the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior is come, be not dismayed when men do not believe. He'll understand and say, well done. Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, weary of life, and the battle is won. Bearing the staff and the cross of redemption, he'll understand and say, well done. Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, and the battle's all won. Tearing the staff and the cross of redemption, he'll understand and say,
You're enjoying the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study. And we want to say hello to Sharon Norwood and send our condolences out to her family, all of us of her mom, Laverne. We want to send condolences out to Sharon Norwood on the passing of Laverne Norwood from the Six Eyes Radio
Holy
Network. Amen.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
When was it the last time you heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And did you answer that call in the same way Isaiah did, saying, here am I, send me? Well, God told you that in his word in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all nations. He told you to go already. He already told you to go. No matter who you are, big or small, male or female, rich or poor, he said, go ye therefore into all nations. It is your job to go. He already said to go. He has already sent you. So, go. He is sending you. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Amen.
How could I be a fanatic concerning such great salvation? How could I be too excited and talk about it too much? It's the greatest thing that could happen from God to fallen man. What's wrong with trying to please him and to walk just as close as I can? There are many who get all excited over a thing that won't last. They stand in the rain and they holler over a kick or a pass. But when I think of living forever, eternal from now on and such, and I happen to whisper, well, glory, they They say that I'm shouting too much. How could I be a fanatic concerning such great salvation? How could I be too excited and talk about him too much? It's the greatest thing that could happen from God to fallen man. What's wrong with trying to please him and walk just as close as I can? What's wrong with trying to please him and walk just as close as I can?
He would give his only son. Yeah. Oh.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced and the special talents they can bring to God's church, God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Eshtubula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, .Bibles.4FOR.the.blind@gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, .Bibles.4FOR.the.blind@gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. This is Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is law. Law. The Hebrew word for no. And again, that is law. It's L-A-W, law. And again, it's the Hebrew word for no. Psalm 14, verse 1 declares, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And again, the Hebrew word for the week, this week, is the Hebrew word for no, which is law, L-A-W, law. This has been Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. Till next time, God bless you and yours.
I've just been to heaven with someone so true. I dreamed about Mama last night. She read me the Bible night. She never closed her eyes in sleep till we were all in bed. And on party nights till we came home, she often sat and read. We little thought about it then, 'cause we were young and gay, just how much Mama worried when we children were away. We only knew she never slept when we were out at night, and that she waited just to know that we'd come home all right. Why, sometimes we'd stay away till 1 or 2 or 3. It seemed to us that Mama heard the turning of the key. For always when we'd step inside, she'd call and we'd reply. But we were all too young back then to understand the reason why. Until the last one returned, she'd always keep a light. For Mama couldn't sleep until she'd kissed us all goodnight. She had to know that we were safe before she went to rest, 'cause she seemed to fear the world might harm the ones she loved the best. And once she said, when you've grown to women and to men, perhaps I'll sleep the whole night through. I may be different then. And so it seemed that night and day we knew a mother's care, that always when we got back home, we'd find her waiting there. And then came the night that we were called together around her bed. The children are all with you now, the kindly doctor said. And in her eyes there gleamed again that old-time tender light that told us that she'd been waiting just to know that we were all right. Then she smiled that old familiar smile and prayed to God to keep her children safe from harm throughout the years. And then she went to sleep.
Prepared my way to that. Now that the Lord, the
that carry is lighter and he's changed the gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, for I have this assurance, his sweet love will carry me through. I know, there's no doubt about it, he's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to that land over yonder, he's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, brother, how about you? Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, he'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows? He might come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Heaven.
All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This peace officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one, and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Okay, everybody has a Bible, and I trust they have a Bible. Yes, we're not going to use what's over there. A nasty witch's toilet. Yes, so, anyway, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John, the 8th chapter, 58th verse, and keep your finger there, because I'm going to have you in another spot. Exodus 3:14. But first of all, we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be preaching on one of the most precious names of God, which is the Great I Am. Jesus is the Great I Am. Jesus is God. So, in this 8th chapter, you know it well. Jesus is disputing with the so-called religious leaders, or so the so-called Pharisees, which would be the modern-day Mormons. So let us stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to start you with 8:58. Are you there? Okay. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, let's turn over to Exodus 3:14. Where he's talking to Moses, and Moses, Exodus. Okay, 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee unto you.
Yeah.
So they're in two spots. Jesus is the great I am.
Yes, yes.
So many of the people today are not recognizing I am.
Right.
It's so sad because the I am has the greatest gift that anyone could ever have. The gift of eternal life.
It does.
And I'm going to have you turning back to John 8, because there's another verse of Scripture I want you to look at in this very jewel of a chapter, because I love John chapter 8. It's such a jewel. I'm going to have you look at 24 in this very big debate, as you well know. And Jesus said unto the Pharisees, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That is why it is so crucial that we must recognize Jesus as the I Am, we definitely don't want to be found following some group who preaches another Jesus. Jesus is the great I Am, the Trinity, the three in one, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, and yet all one God, the Trinity, the Blessed Trinity. So, I mean, I say to so many people out there that have not yet claimed this gift, times are getting very, very short, and so many still do not claim this gift. And the reason why is people are not going out and proclaiming, I Am. They're not proclaiming, I Am. I am so sick. I am so sick and tired of Christians who are just not doing anything for God, for proclaiming the great I Am. No wonder people don't want to, no wonder people are not coming to the good Christian churches, because Christians are not sticking together. There are just some Christians who just will nitpick all the time, and others that are dead. And and what we need to be doing is our work to go out and proclaim the great I Am, who is Jesus, and not just, worrying about what everybody else does. In other words, mind your own business and do what God called you to do, and go tell someone about Jesus. Well, you say, they'll get mad. Well, they'll just have to get glad again. Well, they'll just have to. Or you say, well, I'll lose friends. Get off your high horse and get humble. It's better to have 2 saved friends than 50 unsaved friends. So, I mean, I get so sick of that excuse, because you're going to offend someone when you go and you do what's right. If you take a look at 2 Timothy 3:12, I'll show you what the Bible says here. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Okay, I'm a little far over. 2 Timothy. It's all God's word, amen? Because we don't fool around. We use the 1611 KJV. We don't fool around with anything else. We stick with the original writings. Nope. So, 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Okay. Yea. And that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So yes, we will be persecuted, but there comes a time when you must decide. Whose servant are you? Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to serve Satan? And again, I mean, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm going to have you know that Jesus said that a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So whose side are you on? I mean, come on now, persecution is something that we will suffer if we are going to live for God. Jesus suffered persecution when they took him up to Golgotha. That's right. So they're not going to treat us any better. Keep going, brother. I'm listening to you. So let's just stop all this nitpicking all the time and try to get along with each other, because we're going to have to live in heaven together. We're going to have to live together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the best thing for all of us to do is, go tell people about Jesus, mind our business, avoid the tongue, and proclaim the great I Am, as I just read in Scripture. The great I Am. Because Jesus is, once again, the I Am. And I know that it's sometimes as difficult for some Christians to witness. I mean, I understand that. But you know why the average Christian won't witness? Because, first of all, a lot of them are lazy. But the biggest reason is they're afraid of persecution. But I have news for these dead Christians. The will of God isn't for sissies.
Yes.
The will of God takes work. And I'm going to have you turn to another verse in John. to show you the shortness of time of which we have, because Jesus said this himself here in the book of John, and how we have to be working, because as it's debate 4, chapter 9, the miraculous sign, it's in chapter 9 here in John, and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So that is why it is so important we go out and we proclaim, I am. Because when we are called of God, the evil one cannot even touch us. The evil one cannot even have us. It amazes me today how so many Christians who are saved and will not witness. It gives me a question in my mind, were they even saved to begin with? Because if you're saved, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'll quote it for you, then you're under the category of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things have passed away. All things become anew. This business of, oh, you just pray some little prayer and you never change? Excuse me, but there's a heart change that accompanies salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, not just confessing with your mouth. You just throw out that you prayed some little prayer and you never changed. There is a heart change that accompanies salvation. You say, I'm saved, preacher. Well, why haven't you changed then? Why don't you come out of the bar? Why didn't you come to church? Why didn't you do this? I mean, why didn't you change?
Right.
I mean, there is a heart change which comes to salvation. I'm so sick of sorry, dead services under which your manifestation is not felt. And, you know, I often think of that scripture in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. I ask you, when was the last time we went to our prayer closets and cried to the great I Am for souls? When was the last time we wept over our cities? When was the last time we did it? When was the last time? I tell you, my friend, you couldn't get a preacher to cry in the generation we're living in. It's just really horrible. I mean, it's just like they just will not change. And yet, and there'll be some liberal commentaries coming out saying that Jesus was weeping for various reasons. Most of them ain't worth 5 cents. Amen.
Come on.
They ain't worth 5 cents because Jesus was weeping over the cities. So when was the last time we went to our prayer closet and we prayed to go out and tell someone about the great I Am? So when was the last time we did it? So I challenge you absolutely tonight that there needs to be a change in one's life if they say that they say they are saved. There needs to be a genuine heart change. My friend Ted Alexander preached something similar to this. And he, like myself, is so sick and tired of sorry dead services, and we do need to change. We need to change. For as the scripture that Holy Spirit has just given me to read, we must work while there is day, for the night cometh that no man can work. And believe me, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming, because it must get worse before it gets better. Jesus is coming again. But it must get worse before it gets better. So we need to work right now, because now is the day under which we must do our work.
Yeah.
And I do not speak like I'm better than anyone else. I don't want anyone else to feel as though I think I'm better than you. I am not. I'm nothing but an unworthy servant at best. I pray that there is no offense taken, because, you know, I am not any better than anyone in the flesh. I admit that. I'm only a sinner saved by grace, as we all are in this room. But I have yet to see a lot of changes in many dead Christians. to get a zeal for God. And I think it's high time we get back to our prayer closets and ask God how we can go out there and proclaim the great I am instead of being worldly and out there and trying to be a friend with the world, because a friend of the world is an enemy of God's. The Bible says clearly that either you're going to choose Jesus or the world. And if you choose the world, the love of the Father isn't even in you. You can say you're saved all you want, but if you don't have, if you have the world in you, then the love of God is not in you. Because Jesus calls for a decision. We need to decide who we're going to serve. And he's not, and we're not going to be, we need to stop this fence riding. Because it's either Jesus or Satan. We need to decide who we're going to serve. And, I mean, Jesus is calling for a decision now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, my friend. And ye do err not knowing the scriptures, friend, because if you, you know, if someone knew the scriptures, they would not be doing the things they do. They'd come out of the bar. They'd want to come to church. They'd want to do, they would want to do and change. Because I am dead set on the fact that the Bible says there is a heart change that accompanies salvation, because it does. So, I mean, there's so many scriptures. I could take you all the way through the book of Acts and show you that, you know, you didn't just pray some little prayer back in that day and never change. No. So, excuse me, Jehovah's Witnesses, but I'll tell you, you need to get some better communication. You need to get the right Jesus, my friends. And but in order to live this kind of a life for Jesus, you have to first of all ask him. Have you consulted him? If not, why not? Because we need to be out there working for Jesus, and we need to stop all this nitpicking and all this secondary stuff. And because Jesus patiently awaits. But in Genesis 6, I'm going to have you turn over there, because I have a scripture that I want to read you, because while he's patient, I want you to see this. Genesis 6. Okay. For the Spirit of God will not strive with men forever. So he says it right there. He's not going to strive with us forever. So, you know, and now is the time. Because, I mean, we are running out of time. My friends, things are coming. Things are really coming. The more and more I see, it just really gives me, you know, more and more faith that the rapture is soon coming. And my friends, I'm ready. The question is, are others ready? And if they're not, why not? Yes. And most of it is our fault, sad to say, because Christians are so busy with the outward things, the average Christian is so busy with the outward things that they don't care about souls. We have lost our burden for souls, my friend. We have absolutely lost our burden for souls. When was the last time we went to our prayer closets and cried for souls? Well, our, you know, souls are dying and going to hell, and then we sit around and sit idly by. No, I'm so sick and tired of all of that, I could just throw up. I mean, it's time now that Christians stop worrying about the outward things and start worrying about what Jesus wants you to do. Because if you're going to truly depend on him, he will lead your path. As it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge, in all thy ways acknowledge thee, and I will direct thy path. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and acknowledge thy ways. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So, beautiful verse of scripture. But my question to you is, where are you in this Christian walk? Are you out proclaiming the I am, as I read in Scripture? Or are you so afraid of one's persecution that you will not be out there doing? Which are you? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Let's pray. Father, as we pray right now, Lord God, I pray for our souls and our hearts of each and every one of us in this room. Lord God, if there's even one evil thing that is in our hearts, Lord God, I do pray that we would get our hearts right and pray like David. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Help us to be better prayer warriors for you in Jesus Christ's precious name.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
God above has never gone on strike because he wasn't treated fair or things he didn't like. If he had ever once sat down and said, "That's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun, cut off your heat supply, and to the moon, give no more light, and run those oceans dry. Then just to make it tough and put the pressure on, turn off the air and oxygen till every breath is gone. Do you know he'd be justified if fairness were the game? For no one has been more abused or treated with disdain than God. And yet, he carries on supplying you and me with all the favors of his grace and everything for free. Men say they want a better deal and go so on strike, they go. What a deal we've given God, to whom everything we owe. We don't care who we hurt or harm to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike.
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Yes, Kenny, I believe I have an answer for you, and I would say the answer could be summed up like this, and there's a common theme between that song and that poem. The need to give God, you know, God the Son, preeminence in all things, for by him all things. That includes our very existence and provision exist.
And are you sure you want that for your final answer?
Please, my foot is still going to be on the gas. Yes, that's my final answer.
Well, Tim. Yep. Foot not only still on the gas, but you just blew the doors right off of six. And you didn't even call AAA for the guy? I think you need to be nice to these folks that you're passing and call at least AAA.
Pardon. 3 A's or no 3 A's. Move on to the next one.
Hallelujah, and now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Lesson next is Gog, the land of Magog. I'm hoping that through this lesson, you'll be encouraged to examine the great country of Russia to the north of Palestine in the light of prominent scripture. Also, you'll be encouraged to watch Russia as she jockeys for various political positions in the world. When Jesus Christ comes during the Battle of Armageddon, he is to be met in opposition by all the nations of the world under the leadership of one man, the Antichrist. Revelation 19:19 in your KJV Bible. These nations will have been under the rule of the Antichrist for the previous 42 months or 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5 KJV. For 42 months before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, at the Battle of Armageddon, we see that all people that dwell upon the earth, including Russians, shall worship the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. That's Revelation 13:8. Now, the question comes into our minds. What has happened to Russia? You don't think for one moment that Russia, in her present frame of mind, and with her vast warlike fighting machine, would allow Satan's Antichrist to rule over her, do you? Absolutely not. But please remember, the Antichrist is to cooperate with the revised old Roman Empire, and Russia has no place in the ill-contrived plans of Satan for the rule of the Antichrist. We must admit that Russia must have had her military power reduced somewhere along the way, for we see the Antichrist ruling the earth at the end of the tribulation period with a hand of absolute authority. On second thought, the twofold purpose of this discussion is to show you that Russia is reduced in power before Armageddon and to point to you the soon second coming of Jesus Christ is drawing near. Praise the Lord. How will Russia be removed from the military picture to allow the Antichrist to take over? Well, government sources in Washington over the years have made the statement that the United States would not stand idly by in case of aggression by any nation in the Middle East, and this was taken by the Arab countries to mean American military protection for Israel. The Help Israel report from Washington created an anti-American campaign in Arab newspapers and gave initiative for propaganda among the Arabs to praise the Soviet Union, whom they think will come and join up on the side of the Arab world. We know Russia has done that very thing. To the average listener, or reader, or in this case, reader of the newspaper, this ticklish situation doesn't seem too important in the light of Bible prophecy. May I say, however, that it will just be about as such in a national situation as this, the Arab world turning to the Russians, which will tease and cause the Russians to eventually come down into the land of Palestine, which the Bible says will happen in the end of this day of grace. I'm expecting Russia to do that no later than the beginning of the tribulation period. Regardless of what the political situation may appear to be in the Middle East, there is an extraordinary circumstance brewing in the Mediterranean area which could easily ignite the fires of World War III. The Arab world, after having met in early 1964 to finalize ways and means of stopping Israel from pumping water from the Sea of Galilee, dismissed their summit meeting without any workable solution coming out of their history-making conference. Therefore, Satan will love to use this or any similar situation as a clever inducement to draw Russian troops down into the land of Palestine in the Middle East, because the Bible plainly declares that such will happen in the end of this age. Okay, let's continue here. Scripture. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 38 and verse 8. In other words, the Bible, which I revere and willingly accept as the holy, inspired word of God, tells us that in the latter years, there is to be an elaborate military operation in the land of Palestine, involving several countries from the north of Palestine who will march against the land of Israel. This military operation will be against the land that is brought back from the sword and against a people who are gathered out of many people. Only one people of nation fits that description, Israel. Naturally, there must be some alleged reason for these countries to the north of Palestine to be induced to prepare a military operation of the type and on such a vast scale as carefully described in the book of Ezekiel. The constant trouble in the Middle East between the Arabs and Israel could very easily prove to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. The tremendous irrigation pumping operation of the nation of Israel could have easily provoked this long-desired opportunity for Russia to become militarily involved in the Middle East. Yet the Arab world has turned to the Soviet Union and deliberately asked for available help in maintaining their economy, such as the Aswan Dam in Egypt. Let's look in the ancient book of Ezekiel and carefully read the instructions given to the prophet of old concerning the whole situation. Here's the scripture. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 3. In these three verses of prophetic scripture, we have Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, mentioned most prominently. In order to trace the obscure origin of these people, it is necessary for us to go back into biblical history. We know from the Bible that everybody living on the earth today came from the three sons of Noah. Scripture. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Genesis 9 and verse 19. The three sons of Noah were Ham, Shem, and Japheth. According to Psalm 106:22, we learn that Ham settled in his own land south of the Mediterranean Sea, Shem settled in the land east of the Mediterranean, and Japheth settled north of the Mediterranean, and the names of his several sons were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Taras. Now the scripture, the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Taras. That's Genesis 10 and verse 2 in your King James Version Bible. When we trace the sons of Japheth through the aid of great historians, we find that the Celtic family descended from Gomer, the Scythians or Tartars descended from Magog, the Medes descended from Medai, the Greeks, Syrians, and the people of southern Spain descended from Javan, while the descendants of Meshach settled in the land which is now known as Russia. But not including the territory which has been annexed to Russia by Peter the Great or by any of his successors. Historians tell us that the Scythians or Tartars settled in the area of Russia north of the Black Sea and east of the Carpathian Mountains. This gives us a portion of the Caucasus district in southern Russia, which lies east of the Black Sea and west of the Caspian Sea. We further learn that the inhabitants or descendants of Tubal located in the territory south of the Black Sea and eventually spread up into the the Caucasian Mountains. Most historians have agreed that the people of the Tobolsk district in Russia are the ones who are perpetuating the tribal name of Tubal. The descendants of Meshach settled in the northern part of the Caucasus district and spread north to Moscow. Noah Webster's unabridged dictionary says the Moshi, plural the Meshach, is an ancient people of the Caucasus district, the Meshach of the scriptures. So we definitely established from history and the Bible that the people who presently inhabit and dominate Russia are the direct descendants of Magog, Tubal, and Meshach, and they are the great-grandchildren of one of Noah's sons by the name of Japheth. In the light of the foregoing information, one would wonder why Russia is mentioned in the Bible. Eventually, something must be going to happen to Russia that God wants to know, or else, why would he denote so much prophetic scripture to the great country on the north of Palestine? So, God had the prophets of old write it in the Bible, and as we are getting near to the time when it will eventually be fulfilled, the Holy Spirit is revealing to God's servants the interpretation of a long secreted mystery. Therefore, by reading the scripture that God instructed the prophet Ezekiel to prophesy against Gog, the chief prince of Magog, against the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, then I know it's talking about the modern country of Russia, and God wants us to know what's coming. Please remember, it's only the countries which have dealings with the Jews that are mentioned in the Bible. No country is mentioned in Scripture except it has dealings with the Jews, past, present, or future. In this case, it's Russia coming down into Palestine in our day. This is a rule that has no exceptions. The prophet Ezekiel was instructed to tell the people to the north of Palestine they should keep themselves prepared, for in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 38 and verse 8 in your KJV. We learn that the great-great-grandchildren of Noah are to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, Ezekiel 38 and verse 12, KJV. Recent information from the Israel Office of Information tells us that Israelites have returned to the state of Israel from more than 120 countries. Ezekiel 38:15, we will note that God's word says, "And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee." You will further note that all directions in the Bible are in relationship to Jerusalem. For various reasons, God has placed the beloved city of Jerusalem at the center of the earth. Scripture, thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst or middle of the nations and countries that are round about her. Ezekiel 5 and verse 5. So when we read in the Bible that a country to the north of Palestine is going to do a certain thing, then we go to the map. And without a long deliberation, we know which country it is because of its directional relationship to Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel 38:16, we read, "And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. Because these great-great-grandchildren of Noah leave their country to the north of Palestine and invade the land of Palestine, God will become very angry with them. This is what the scripture says, and it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Okay, that's Ezekiel 38:18 KJV. Verse 21 of the same chapter tells us, I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. And then in verse 22, we learn of the great damage that will befall these invaders of the land of Palestine. Here it is. Scripture, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him, upon his bands, upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Many of those in the invading army from the north will be slaughtered, and the 11th and 12th verses of Ezekiel 39 tell that it will take the Israelites 7 months to bury the dead Russian soldiers. Scripture, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Ezekiel 39, verses 11 and 12. This particular prophecy of Ezekiel's has never taken place, and the Bible says it must come to pass. In fact, every prophecy in the Bible will be fulfilled exactly as the Word of God says it will. This prophecy must be fulfilled, and the way dramatic circumstances in the Middle East are beginning to formulate themselves, its fulfillment could be sooner than we least expect. It's possible some of this, us living right now, will see the fulfillment of this prophetic situation. For more than 100 years, the ambition and dream of the czars of Russia was to build a railroad from Moscow to Baghdad, Iraq. This, in turn, would allow for a railroad from Baghdad to a warm water seaport on the shores of the Mediterranean. This would open up to Russia the possibility of exporting all her vast supply of raw materials to all ports in the Mediterranean and all parts in the Indian Ocean on a year-round basis. Russia is now in a position where she can dictate her own terms to most of the countries involved in this warm water seaport project, because Russia has been a big benefactor to the Arab nations since World War II. She is in position to put the pressure on them. Russia is on a brotherly basis with the country of Iraq. Since the close of World War II, Russia has been boldly romancing the Arab nations in the Middle East. In fact, Russia has had her political finger about every national pie in the countries surrounding the land of Palestine. But she has never actually given cause to alarm the world that she might try to actually take over the land of Palestine. You will note in Ezekiel's prophecy there is an abbreviated explanation as to why Russia will eventually invade Israel. Scripture, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Ezekiel 38:10, KJV. In the original Hebrew tongue, this verse would be translated to read, thus saith the Lord God, on that day shall thoughts come into their mind, and you shall plan a mischievous scheme. In other words, Russia is very conscious of the ever-increasing prosperity that is now existing in the land of Israel. She has been trying to woo the Arabs since the close of the World War II. The state of Israel went ahead with her plans to pump water from the Sea of Galilee, which in turn is being piped down into the thirsty, dry Negev desert. This has been in operation for a long time. The Arabs did not stop Israel. Israel is the most progressive force in the Middle East. The 13-nation Arab League naturally was opposed to that elaborate plan. The Arabs got together for 5 days during January 1964, but disbanded with a general feeling among themselves that it appeared Israel, then the United States, would step in. They were not interested in tangling with the United States of America for many reasons. For one, they were getting an overabundance of foreign aid from the USA. They didn't want to bite the hospitable hand that was feeding them. They were received billions of dollars from the USA. What are they going to do? They extended an invitation to the Soviet Union to come to their rescue. The Arabs feel that the Russians can throw their way around the Middle East and possibly influence the USA to keep their opposing forces out of that troubled area. But you and I know this didn't work either. So you are seeing a series of frenzied and dramatic actions taking place in the Middle East, which could very easily ignite the fires of World War III. But yet, on the other hand, I do not foresee a major conflict at this time, not until the invasion of Israel by Russia. My sincere reason for pointing out this situation to you is to alert you to the world's happenings, which in many parts of the world are exactly according to the prophecies of the Bible. All these prophecies must be fulfilled in God's overall prophetic plan. Nothing can be left out. One of these ancient prophecies is the invading of the land of Israel by Gog and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal in the last days. The Bible says that all who come down with Gog shall fall in the land of Israel, and it will require 7 months for the Israelites to bury them. The dead bodies must be removed from the land so the Israelites can begin their sacrificial worship once more. My reason for stressing this point is I want you to realize the Jews must again begin their sacrificial worship. This first worship will be the celebration of the Passover, which was a seven-day feast. Naturally, with the Russian army beaten and the power of God having been manifested in favor of the Israelites, the whole world will believe that this was an act of God in direct answer to their prayers. This will give the Jews a tremendous standing among the nations of the earth at that time. As part of God's punishment, the Bible says, every wall shall fall to the ground, Ezekiel 38:20. Will this tear down the Dome of the Rock Muslim temple? If it does, they will believe that Allah, God, did it. Sounds feasible, doesn't it? This opens the way for rebuilding the Jewish temple on Mount Moriah. This will give the Antichrist much courage to guarantee them 7 years of peace, Daniel 9:27. The Antichrist, who will have been backed by the 10 nations of the revised old Roman Empire, Daniel 2 and verse 40 through 43, Revelation 17 verses 12 and 13, will be experiencing a degree of popularity at that time. The entire world population will be saying peace and safety. But it's at that time when the sudden destruction will come upon them, the whole civilized world is going to be thrown on them. The whole civilized world is going to be thrown into the early pangs of the tribulation period, but because we, the church, born again, have been true to God, we will go in the rapture. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 17. So please remember, I believe the invading of the land of Palestine must take before the rapture of the church. Time is getting short. We're living in tremendous days. I don't believe the invasion of Israel is the war of Armageddon. In closing, may I suggest that you read Ezekiel 38 and 39:16 with careful interest. So please read the whole book of Ezekiel on chapter 38 and just do 39:16. This is the Russian battle. It stops at Ezekiel 39:16, and the Battle of Armageddon is described in the verses beginning with Ezekiel 39:17. In reading these two chapters, I believe that former difficulties of interpretation will be cleared away. May God bless you with the very blessing that will be best suited for you at this time. Our homegoing is getting mighty close. May God help us to be faithful until he comes. Next lesson will be Land of Conflict.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, as we pull into the station there with the old gospel bus, Ruth, who do we got on board with us?
We still have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and band of angels, which we're always got with us at all times, and we have you and me.
Okay. Well, with that, Sister Ruth, just any questions on the messages that we had there or comments?
I'm okay.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to let you give us a closing prayer, but before you do, I want to remind everybody of the programs upcoming tomorrow. And at 9 p.m., we have Dr. Doug Quick on this station, Station 1, and you call 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern, for Dr. Doug Quick and the truth of the matter. All right, Ruthie.
Well, Lord, be with God's chosen people. I know your people are being hurt again in Israel, and I just know that you will take care of them and be with Emily and her prayer requests and Kenny and his prayer requests and Six, his prayer requests and my prayer requests, and that pretty much covers it all and the whole world and these people in over 150 countries. So we just want to praise and bless your name. We love you forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless everybody. Have a good evening.